You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards, right?
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting bits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else you happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right, but we can promise that we have 2 hours of informative and entertaining topics that we have prepared for you in the sports, entertainment, and odd news realms. Thank you for joining us on this episode, the second episode of 2020.
Yeah, right?
It was good. I was re-listening to the one last week, which was great with Nena, and it just felt so good to be back into the swing of things. I know, you know, we usually take some time off for the holidays, but it felt like it was almost a larger amount of time than usual. So I'm really glad to be back in the swing of things, back to reporting the news with you guys and discussing with Mike and going over the crazy things that happen. And boy, do we have a lot of crazy news to get to on this week's episode.
Oh, yeah. Jam-packed episode.
Yeah, I mean, we've got your traditional stuff coming up with the Oscars nominations and stuff like that and odd news, but I mean, we even have baseball news this week, which is bizarre.
Baseball in January in the middle of NFL playoffs. What are you talking about? This is crazy town up in here.
But that's how you know it's earth-shattering news that we're going to mention in the middle of NFL playoffs time. So stick around for sports in just a little bit. But before we get to all of that news, we like to do personal news. Mike, how you doing? What's up in Costanzo country?
I'm pretty good in Costanzo country. I had a chance to see 1917.
Oh, it's getting big reviews.
It's getting lots of great reviews. It won the Golden Globe for Best Drama. It was nominated for quite a few Oscars, which we'll get to later. And I can personally attest to the fact that it is a harrowing and gripping film. I'm pretty sure. I started noticing about like a third of the way through, so I can't confirm it, but it seems like it didn't have any like hard cuts, like it all, you know what I mean, like
it was continuous shooting.
Yeah, it was really, really fantastic. If it doesn't win for cinematography, we'll get into it when we talk about Oscars,
so,
but I mean, it was
there are tricks. Was it mostly continuous shot or was it using the tricks? Because
so, like, for instance, there's one scene where there's flares being shot. Uh-huh. So it's like dark and then light and dark and then light. Like, obviously, there were tricks being employed, but to the viewer, it seems like it's the camera's just continuous.
Good, you know? Good.
It would be impossible to film a 2-hour movie.
Right, that's what I was saying.
A single cut. That's right. Yeah. So obviously they use tricks, but the experience was as if the camera never cut. And it was so tense and so thrilling. And it was just a very good war movie where at the end, it wasn't like saccharine. It wasn't like hopeful. It also wasn't like over the top, just like sad and depressing. It had this middle ground where, very much like Saving Private Ryan, where it was like you're left really thinking about the sacrifices made, and in particular the characters in the story, like did it pay off? You know, like did all their work like amount to anything? You know, and it leaves you with that little interesting middle ground there. It was a very, very good movie. Highly recommend it.
All right, so all it needs is a Shakespeare in Love movie to upset it.
Well, I mean, we'll get into it. But I also had a chance to go to the Academy of Natural Sciences in Philadelphia. One of my favorite museums is the Dinosaur Museum. It has
it's just called the Dinosaur Museum.
Well, that's what I knew it as a kid growing up, and that's what I still refer to it as, is the Dinosaur Museum. If you haven't been, it's a museum run by Drexel University. It has lots of, their main exhibit is, of course, the dinosaur skeletons they have. They have a full Tyrannosaurus skeleton, a full Plesiosaurus skeleton, Lots of really, really cool specimens, some fossils you can actually touch. They also have a large selection of dioramas of different animals from around the world.
What's a diorama?
No, it's really, really impressive. It's an older museum, and it's a little bit run down, but it's all the more reason to support the arts and the sciences in the city. Go to the museums, pay for your tickets, leave a donation, go to the gift shop, because it's great fun, and it's important, you know, to support the arts and the sciences so that people can continue to learn and be enlightened and enjoy those aspects. And also dinosaur bones. So, you know,
there you go.
I was like a little kid. I was like, can I do the big dig, or is that inappropriate for a 30-year-old to dig in the ground for pretend dinosaur bones?
Yeah. Mike wants to dig.
But if you haven't been, it's really cool. You can do the whole museum in like under 2 hours. It's not that big, but it's really, really cool. So that's what I was doing. Rich, what were you up to past week?
I had a wedding to go to, so that was a lot of fun, as usual.
Yeah.
You can't say no to a wedding.
So, I guess not, no.
It's always a blast when I'm invited to a wedding, as far as I'm concerned. So that pretty much took up the whole weekend. I'll just piggyback off of your single shot admiration
right
thing that you went off on. If you're looking for something that's really cool, it does something like that. The first season of True Detective has a scene where Matthew McConaughey has to raid a drug-infested compound, and he does it undercover and everything. And it's a 9-minute single-shot tracking, just everything is just done in this one take.
Those types of shots.
Every time I see that, I'm just like, how did you do? Like, there's so many things you got to choreograph.
Yeah.
And especially with something like that, where he's acting like a real police officer, he's got to check the corners before he moves, and the pacing has to be right. And then
right.
Like, the people have to jump out at the right time. And like, it blows my mind that, that they were able to pull that together in one long 9-minute single cut. And that's, Corey Fukunaga,
right,
who's doing the next Bond movie, so that makes me feel good.
Very excited.
The Bond movie is going to have something like that in it.
I love those single cut or those. I don't even know what's the actual term for
single shot.
Single shot tracking.
Single tracking shot, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. I mean, every time I see one in a film, I think Kill Bill has a really good one. The one that always stands out to me is La La Land, the opening number.
Yes.
Is all one single shot.
Yeah.
And I mean, you talk about choreography. I mean, just like timing the dancing and the singing and people moving in and out of the frame, and they're doing it on a highway. And I'm just like blown. It's like a 7-minute shot, and it's like this entire like group dance number. Like, I can't even imagine like the.
There's so much that has to go right.
Envisioning that as a cinematographer or as a director, I don't even know where you would begin. So every time I see something like that in a show or TV. In a show or a movie, it always blows me away.
Yeah. It blows you away so much you forget the actual term.
Yeah, I forget the actual term, yeah.
Yeah. So, there you go. A couple of single-shot movie and TV show recommendations.
Yeah.
If you're interested in
that. If that's your obscure, like, hyper-specific thing you're looking for in your entertainment.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. All right. I think we need to delve into all the news because we got a lot of crazy news to get to. So the first batch revolve around the sports world. We call it the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Yep. Sports coming at you in your face here. And, you know, like we said, we're in the middle of NFL football season, the most important time of the year for Mike.
Yes.
But we can't start with football. There is actual serious baseball news happening. Yes.
It's very serious.
Yes. A cheating scandal that has rocked the league, that has seen a lot of heavy-duty punishments. Yes, this is worthy enough to break through football talk.
Yeah, worthy enough to lead off here in the sports sampler as well.
Yep.
Where do you want to begin? This scandal is sweeping baseball. It involves multiple teams.
Well, it really started with the Houston Astros. The Houston Astros sign stealing scandal has rocked the league and has rocked the sports world. So let's just do a quick overview so we get everybody caught up. So the Houston Astros won the World Series in 2017 and remained competitive in 2018 and this season as well. Mike Fiers, who's a pitcher who played for the Astros in 2017, came out with a bombshell allegation that said that the Astros used a video camera in center field that was designed explicitly just for the Astros to steal opposing teams' signs with their catcher as the, you know, what type of pitch they're going to call, and their first and third base coach signs as to, you know, steal and whether or not they were going to steal or stay put, which is huge. You can't have your own personal CCTV video camera system just for you at your home turf and not give it to the other team.
Yeah.
This is a huge advantage to operate on your own turf. And unfortunately, this is all happening during their World Series championship run in 2017, as well as in part in their 2018 season as well, where they still were competitive. So in the article, Fiers stated that a center field camera feed was sent to the Houston Astros tunnel at Minute Maid Park. An Astros staff member would then hit a trash can to signal specific different pitches to the players and coaches in the dugout, as well as the batter, and communicate other things of that nature as well.
People didn't think it was odd. Somebody was just banging on a trash can.
Drumming on a street light.
Yeah.
Playing with my banjo.
Nobody thought, like, wow, that guy's like really obsessed with that trash can there. But anyway, I digress. That's pretty devious to come up with this whole system.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. We were talking about this before the recording, and your mom really got into it.
She did.
I totally get it, though. This is something that gives you a very decisive advantage in baseball to know what the pitch is coming, you know?
Yeah, and so my whole thing with cheating in sports is, and I've talked about this, I hate to always bring it back to football, but you know that's my baseline metric, is when the Patriots were accused of something very similar, stealing defensive signals.
Yeah, Spygate.
Originally, back in their original early 2000s Super Bowl run, and the Eagles were one of the victims of that so-called cheating. And the thing that always bothered me with the cheating is, yes, the cheating was wrong, but the thing we have to keep in mind is that with physical performances, the team still needs to perform. Like, it's knowledge only gets you halfway there. And I don't like the idea that people try to blame all of the faults and failures on someone else. At some point, you have to take responsibility for your own shortcomings. And so it always bothered me as a kid when the Eagles lost that Super Bowl that people were like, oh, it was only because the Patriots and they're cheating. I was like, well, no, the Eagles just weren't good enough that year as well. So in this case, it is very damning. And you showed me the statistics, the jump in performance. So it clearly gave them a huge advantage.
Definitely for the Astros.
For the Astros. Yeah, you very helpfully wrote down the statistics here. They were 13th in batting average the year before they started cheating. They jumped all the way to first the year that they won the World Series, the year that they started cheating, and then only dipped a little bit to fourth in the following year. And then, well, so the main twist here is that one of the people that was involved in this went on to work for the Red Sox.
Yes,
afterwards.
And Alex Cora,
yeah.
He was the bench coach for the Astros during the 2017 run.
And they had a similar jump.
Yeah, he gets hired for the Red Sox. And they go, when they win the championship in 2018, and with similar results. 2017, they were only 8th in the American League of batting average, and then all of a sudden in 2018, they're the best in the American League.
Right, and they win the World Series as well. So, statistically, clearly, you can see these peaks and valleys. You can see that the year that they started cheating, both teams, they won the World Series, and they had this huge jump in batting average. So it clearly gave them an on-the-field advantage. But again, they still needed to perform. There's lots of things, you know, there's lots of variables and variations. Pitches don't come out like of a pitching machine. You know what I mean? So I would say that the cheating only gets them, while a huge advantage and completely wrong and inappropriate and ruins the integrity of the game, only gets them halfway there. So I feel like I'm a little more lenient in this thing, especially since there's a legacy of sign stealing in baseball to begin with. It's like an accepted part of the sport.
But to actually use a camera and technology and have this little complex system in your own home base,
I will say it's very devious. It was a new level of deviousness. Like, you can imagine, like, Mr. Burns-esque, like, finger, you know, steepling going on over there. But
It's taken to a different level when you're introducing technology, and especially for a sport like baseball, they're trying to use as little technology as possible.
Well, you know my problems with baseball and technology.
Yeah,
but that's neither here nor there. Regardless, this is a huge controversy, a huge scandal, and baseball is taking action. What's going on here? How did they respond?
Findings. Yeah, so Major League Baseball, they're not taking this lightly. They did a full blown investigation that confirmed Mike Fear's allegations and pretty much said, yeah, this was all going on, and they have the evidence to confront the Astros. So as a result, they fined them a whopping $5 million right off the bat. That's it taken right out of their finances. $5 million kicking back to the commissioner's office. For their draft capital, they are forced to forfeit their first and second round draft picks in the 2020 and 2021 Major League Baseball drafts.
That's huge.
They're going to have to start out with their third pick now in those drafts. General manager Jeff Lunau and field manager AJ Hinch were both suspended for the entire 2020 season. But then the Astros went a step further and decided to just fire them both and just say, we're not going to deal with this trash.
Yeah, I mean, as an organization, that's you can't, it tarnishes the name too much.
It tarnishes your World Series championship.
Well, that too. Well, notice that Major League Baseball didn't strip them of any titles.
I think that would be impossible to really do.
Again, you know? Because the knowledge-based cheating only gets you halfway there.
Yeah.
That's my whole argument, is they still have to perform. I feel that the punishment was adequate for the Astros.
Well, I think it's appropriate that they both lost their jobs. Yeah. And chances are they're not going to be hired again. This is pretty much going to be the
end of
their
career-ending type stuff right there.
Yeah. In addition, Alex Cora, who we mentioned was the bench coach for the Astros that went to the Red Sox and won their World Series with them in 2018, the MLB did not do anything directly to him, but the Red Sox decided to fire him in wake of the scandal. So even he is a casualty in the middle of this. So I feel like at the end of the day, I feel like everybody got their just comeuppance.
Yeah, I feel like it was a fair and just punishment.
I wouldn't go so far as to actually... There's actually a movement to try to get the Astros to rescind their World Series title.
No.
I think that's impossible.
And again...
This isn't college football. We're not going to go down this path.
No. And again, the cheating, again, only gets them halfway there. It's not like cheating... This is the thing. People like to equate this type of cheating to a direct performance increase. I mean, yes, there was a performance increase, but it's only knowledge that they're dealing with. They still have to execute. They still have to account for so many other factors in the game, fielding and pitching. It's not just batting that wins championships. You're talking about one third of the equation
here. And they still had to go on the road.
Right, exactly. So, really, it's less than halfway there. So, again, like, yes, it's a big deal, but it always bothers me when people are like, that's it, knowledge-based cheating. You know, it's the sole reason here, but it's not. And again...
So here's something else, too, to tie this together. Both of these teams beat the Dodgers to win the World Series.
And, I mean, if anything, the Dodgers are the ones that should be the most pissed.
And, well, this is what I was going to get at. Bill Plaschke of the Los Angeles Times wrote a scathing article that says, this is BS. The commissioner should at least strip one of these titles. You know, the Dodgers essentially lost a potential dynasty here because they went the back-to-back World Series and lost to both of these teams.
Like you mentioned, though, the teams have to go on the road.
Right. Do you think he's speaking a little bit out of emotional stake here?
I mean, of course he's speaking out of emotion, and I wouldn't expect anything less from... You said this was... Who was this?
Bill Plaschke over at the L.A. Times.
Okay, so he's just a noted beat LA sports writer. Yeah. Okay.
He's on, like, Around the Horn, you know, those shows.
So,
relatively famous.
Okay, so, right. That's his job. He has to be emotional. He has to, you know, write about the team. He has to... You know, I'd probably say something similar if the Eagles had been caught up in something like this. Although I said that I didn't think the same thing back when they lost that first Super Bowl.
Well, imagine if they went back-to-back.
Back-to-back. That might have been a little bit different. He's speaking out of emotion and not out of logic, though. Logically, you can't blame the Dodgers' shortcomings on the cheating because, as you pointed out, these teams have to go on the road. You know, I don't have it in front of me, but you have to imagine that the Dodgers got to play at least two games at home, minimum, right, during that World Series.
Yeah. Well, if it's 2-2, yeah, it should be 2.
It has to be, right? Yeah. Minimum.
Right, because it goes 2-3-2.
Yeah. So, again, what are you doing when you're playing at home? Are you just... You know,
if the Dodgers are playing home, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it only gets them halfway there. I wouldn't expect anything less from a beat writer, you know, in a city that was affected by it. But again, it doesn't all add up.
Yeah, I would say
by the way, that World Series, the Astros and the Dodgers went a full 7 games.
Where was Game 7?
Game 7 was...
Was that in Houston?
I don't know. Astros versus Dodgers, so I guess at L.A.?
Ah, so that Game 7 was
I'm going based off of what Google says. What the Google says, yeah. Let me read the Wikipedia article, see if I can...
There you go, trust Wikipedia.
Find something.
Anyway...
Dodger Stadium.
Ah, so Game 7?
The Dodgers got 4 games.
Game 7 was at
Game 7 was at Dodger Stadium and the Astros won. The Astros won 2 games at Dodger Stadium. Your move, Dodgers.
Yeah.
I rest my case. No, I'm kidding. No, but I mean that's the point. Teams still have to execute. Yes, it's awful. Yes, it's wrong. Yes, the team should be punished. No, this doesn't affect the outcome of an entire series of 7 games. It just doesn't. It doesn't.
Yeah. I think it's tough.
That's why the pennants weren't removed.
Right. I don't want to go so far as to try and remove the pennants. You're at that point, then you're playing stupid college football legacy rules, which is... this is why we don't follow college football. You know, that's one of the reasons we don't follow it. So, you know, the punishments here fit the crime, I think. I think everybody that was involved... got their just comeuppance, and now both teams are ready to move on as we head into the 2020 Major League Baseball season.
I just want to point out one final thing. In the 2018 World Series, they played 3 games at Dodger Stadium, and the Red Sox won 2 of them. So,
all right. So now with that out of the way, Mike, you can rest now. We made it through baseball.
I can breathe easy.
Made it through baseball. Now it's time to get into the news at hand that revolve around football. We're going to hit a couple topics in the football world in 2 minutes or less here in the 2-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right. The clock is armed and go. What do you have?
All right. First up, a little bit of a follow-up from the wild card round of the NFL playoffs. As predicted, Seahawks defensive end Jadeveon Clowney was not fined for the hit on Philadelphia Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz during the wild card round playoff game. Well, I mean, it's exactly as I said. Carson Wentz was diving headfirst. He was struck in the back of the head by Clowney's helmet as the defender appeared to lower his head for the hit, resulting in Wentz leaving the field, leaving the first playoff game of his career. But here's the thing. He was an active runner. There was no flag on the play. It was really a 1-2 punch. It would have been very tough to levy a fine or suspend Clowney for
not a suspension. I agree a suspension would have been too much, especially in a playoff game. But a fine, I think, would have been appropriate.
Yeah,
there's been lesser fines
There have been lesser fines. I think that if there had been a flag on the play, he would have absolutely been fined. But the fact of the matter is that as an active runner, it's really tough to make that argument. And the rumor at the time was he wasn't going to get fined, and that's what ended up happening. But word on the street, Jadeveon Clowney, dirty football player. Yeah. So he's going to have maybe a tougher time finding a team this next upcoming season.
And screw him. He doesn't like Philadelphia.
Yeah. But in some lighter news, we have to celebrate the astounding career of Antonio Gates, San Diego/LA Chargers tight end. Antonio Gates, at 39 years old, officially announced his retirement earlier this week.
He still played?
Well, not this past year. Gates, one of the all-time great tight ends, last played in 2018 but was not signed as a free agent this past season. He played 16 seasons, all with the Chargers, where he made 8 Pro Bowls and became the franchise leader in receptions, receiving yards, and touchdown receptions. Among tight ends, he ranks 3rd all-time in receptions and receiving yards and 1st all-time in touchdown receptions. In his retirement statement, he says he will remain involved with the Chargers organization through the team's community engagement initiatives and public-facing events.
Bye, Gates! All right, there you go. 2 minutes or less. We hit a couple topics there. And before we get to the playoffs, we have some Eagles coaching news. Mike, what do you want to tackle first?
All right, well, first up, let's talk about some of these coaching shakeups after the Eagles exited the playoffs. Obviously, changes were going to be made. Some of the lesser important ones on defense, Detroit Lions hired our defensive backs coach Corey Undlin as their new defensive coordinator. I can't say that I'm particularly disappointed in this. Our cornerbacks have been the subject of much ridicule in Philadelphia and around the league. They're not good. So they can have Undlin if they want to. The bigger news was that the Cleveland Browns were trying to pursue defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz for a coaching position. However, they decided to go in a different direction, so Schwartz will probably be returning to Philadelphia. All right, so you played the sort of sad, happy music.
Yeah.
What do you make of these two moves on defense?
I'm glad Cleveland came to their senses and realized Jim Schwartz shouldn't be a head coach.
He's not a good head coach. He's a good defensive coordinator, not a good head coach.
Right. He when he focuses on just the defensive side of the ball, he's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's I mean he was the head coach of the 0-16 Lions, so I don't know if you would trust a pedigree like that.
And he also coached the Bills for a few years, I think, as well. They had great defenses, not good teams overall. I would prefer. So here's the thing. My relationship with Jim Schwartz here is it's not that I wanted a change there. I just would like it if we had a little bit more adaptability on defense. At times this year, it seemed like we really struggled to change course at times. Near the end of the year, they started to gel a lot better. I don't know if that was a locker room issue or just an injuries issue. Hopefully Jim Schwartz can get back to what he was doing in 2017, because defense really struggled at times this season. I don't want to say I'm happy to see Corey Undlin go, but our cornerbacks were really, really rough. So that's a coaching move that I can easily tolerate. On offense, though, we have a little bit of a different story here. Two moves that people were greatly looking forward to. Wide receiver coach Carson Walsh was fired. He was the 4th wide receiver coach in 4 years under Peterson. Obviously, that is a position that needs a lot of help, and Carson Walsh was not doing the job. But the bigger news here is that offensive coordinator Mike Groh was finally fired.
Yes, this is pretty big. This is something we've been calling for the last year and a half now.
Yeah. There was just such a shift. I mean, even last year, there was such a marked shift from the 2016 and 2017 teams, where they used to be aggressive and they used to be, putting up a lot of flashy plays, and they always seemed to have the right stuff dialed up at the right time. In 2018 and 2019, the offense was just flat most of the time.
Yeah.
A lot of that, yes, was injuries, but I feel like a good portion of that was just play calling and lack of situational football. You know, they started, taking intermediate shots on first down, through the air. I mean, first down is a running down. It has to be, you know? Because if you don't make that first 15-yard completion, you're sitting at second and 10. You know, you've either got to call smarter, shorter plays, or you got to call running plays.
It's better to get 3 or 4 yards on
that first down than to get zero. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
So I have no problem with the Mike Groh move. Was he scapegoated? Probably. There were a lot of issues on offense. He probably wasn't the sole reason behind all of it, but he was a big part of it. So
when you have an offense with this much talent and they're only putting up 7 points in 3 quarters, it's not going to fly.
No. So I'm hearing rumors of Deuce Staley potentially being a replacement. He's the current assistant head coach and running backs coach. How would you feel about Deuce Staley stepping up?
I think that would be interesting because there would probably be more of a commitment to the running game, and that's why you got Miles Sanders in there. So and now they might have found hidden gold with Boston Scott as well. That would be interesting to get those two running backs, you know, as a formidable 1-2 punch.
Yeah, I mean, a big part of our 2017 run was the running game.
Yeah.
So we really need to lean on that because if you can have a balanced attack and a sustained attack, it makes defense so much easier, which is, you know, it's one of those things where you fix one thing and it fixes a couple different things, or at least it helps out a couple different areas. Personally, I would like them to go outside the organization only because they need somebody who can challenge Doug Peterson and bring a new perspective to things, because clearly things are getting a little stale on offense, and part of that was Mike Groh. Part of that might also be Doug Peterson, because he's the offensive mastermind. He likes to call the plays. He likes to call the shots. So it would be nice if he had somebody like Frank Reich challenged him, you know, and was there for Carson Wentz. Mike Groh wasn't the type of person who could challenge Doug Peterson, who could challenge Carson Wentz, who could, you know, actually, at least from the reports that we, you know, the past two seasons, we've had those bombshell reports about Carson Wentz, you know.
The hidden
locker room reports. Yeah, the Al-Shanonymous source. So they need somebody from outside the organization to bring new ideas, to challenge the players, to challenge the coaches, to rejuvenate things. You know, I just worry that the Eagles are getting very safe and very complacent, that they're plateauing. We have a lot of cap space coming into 2020. Maybe some of that can be used to get rid of Alshon Jeffrey and just absorb the hit, or, you know, a complete retooling. But the idea is, the main premise is that we need fresh minds, fresh talent, fresh ideas. I just want fresh everything. So
very fresh.
Well, that, but my,
you sound like Gordon Ramsay a little bit. Very fresh.
Yeah, very fresh.
The most amazing offense.
Seasoned beautifully.
Seasoned beautifully.
My point is that I think they should look outside the organization.
Yes. Season it beautifully.
You donkey!
We want it seasoned beautifully, and where's the lamb sauce?
Where's the lamb sauce?
I mean, that's what I was shouting all season. You know, the Eagles are only putting up 7 points. Where's the lamb sauce?
Where's the lamb sauce?
Yeah, so we need somebody who can bring the lamb sauce. So I'm looking outside of the organization, personally.
All right, well, speaking of the lamb sauce, we need to get ready for the sauce that you need to figure out who's going to win the conference championships in the terrific two picks for the NFL playoffs. This is it. This is the final picks until the Super Bowl. These picks here will determine who gets to the Super Bowl in the conference championship games. Both of these games on Sunday. Mike, who's going to win the AFC Championship game?
Okay, the AFC Championship game, it's a very interesting one. We have the 6th seed Tennessee Titans traveling to Kansas City to face off against the Chiefs. It's a 3 o'clock game. Take note of the weird time. Oh, man, this is really tough. The Titans have been astounding this playoffs. I mean, really, really shocking fans around the country when they beat the Ravens. I don't know that it's enough to beat the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs scored 41 unanswered points against the Texans, who are at 1 point leading 24-0. The last time these two teams met was in mid-November. The Titans actually beat the Chiefs only by 3 points. And if there's one thing that I know about Andy Reid, when he has time to prepare, he has time to coach up. I'm hoping that outcome can be a little bit different. The Chiefs lost that game by just a missed field goal. They could have tied it up. So it was very, very close. It was a coin flip. Then again, on the other hand, Andy Reid, conference championship games, doesn't exactly have the best record there.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's ever, in his coaching tenure, had an offense like the Chiefs have right now.
They're very explosive.
And that's what Andy Reid, he knows how to coach offense. I'm going to go with the safe bet. I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
I agree. I think it's going to be Kansas City. You've got the experience with Andy Reid. Also, Mahomes, they were in this position last season.
Yeah.
So he's used to the pressure. They're going to be comfortable in Kansas City. The
Arrowhead's very tough to play at.
It is. And, you know, the Titans have had a great story, don't get me wrong. But the whole key to it has been Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has played out of his mind the last two games. I think he has something like 200 all-scrimmage yards in both of those games.
It's ridiculous.
If Andy Reid has half of a brain, all he has to do is just stop Derrick Henry. Put eight people in the box and force Ryan Tannehill to prove his accuracy.
But here's the thing. If the Chiefs can get up early with their passing attack, which they can, it's going to force Tennessee to abandon the run game. So there's multiple ways that they can negatively impact the Titans' strength here.
Right. As long as they negate Derrick Henry, they're going to be fine.
Yeah. So we're both in agreement, Kansas City Chiefs.
I think so. I think that's a good bet.
Will we both be in agreement with this next one? The NFC Championship game, Sunday at 6:40, the Green Bay Packers traveling to San Francisco to face off against the 49ers. There's a second seed versus a first seed. Both of them 13-3. Both of them phenomenal teams. Last time they faced, end of November.
Packers won, right?
No. The Niners blew them out 37-8. What's going to happen this time?
I really want to say Packers.
I know you want to say Packers, but the Niners. So I'll take this. The Niners are one of the best teams statistically in so many categories. They're going to be comfortable at home. They've been doing this all season long.
They're also
37-8 the last time they played. This isn't a case of the Titans and the Chiefs where it was decided by
a field goal.
This is an astronomical gulf. And I have to think the Packers are going to come well prepared, but do they have the firepower to keep pace with a top five offense and top five defense?
Yeah.
I like the Niners at home.
Also, the 49ers, I think, were the only team that relatively kind of just kind of not surfed, but like had like an easier, they had like the path of least resistance. The Vikings pretty much gave up at like halftime, I think, in that game.
Yeah, they crushed them good.
Yeah.
The Packers have been winning close games. The Seahawks, I don't know, were the Seahawks a real challenge? They barely beat the Eagles after taking out their starting quarterback and injuring their backup quarterback. And the Packers barely beat them. I'm trying to convince you. You make your own pick, Rich.
You know what? I want to be different. I'm going to go Packers. Aaron Rodgers, he's got the playoff history. You know, this is when you rely on your defense and your quarterback is when they really come to the fold here in the playoffs. They have to, at some point in these games, they've got to carry the team, you know, when things are looking down or when drives stall out. And between Jimmy Garoppolo and Aaron Rodgers, I would bet more that Aaron Rodgers would be able to handle a situation where he has to lead a game-winning drive or game-tying drive in the fourth quarter than Jimmy Garoppolo. We've seen Jimmy Garoppolo do well, but there's been a lot of times this season where he doesn't perform. And you know what? I'm gonna go Packers. I'm going to be different. I think it's going to be Chiefs.
You're going to go with the tried and true playoff veteran team. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go Chiefs, Packers, Super Bowl.
I'm going Chiefs and Niners. I want to see something different, and that's different. Chiefs and Niners, that's a good Super Bowl right there.
You know what? Either way, I think that's a pretty good. You know what?
I think this is one of the best Super Bowls we have.
The Patriots aren't in it. The Cowboys aren't in it. Yeah, it's going to be a good Super Bowl no matter who wins.
It's going to be the best
teams.
Super Bowl since 2017.
Yeah. I don't know about 2017.
The Eagles won.
Yeah, but well, to me that's the highest. You can't go yeah. any higher than that.
That was the joke.
I'm gonna go Chiefs, Packers.
All right.
Also, that would be interesting to see if that does happen. That would be interesting to see if Rodgers versus Mahomes.
Ooh,
wouldn't that be a shootout?
That'd be a good shootout.
Yeah.
Either way, we're gonna get no matter what teams win, any of these four teams, it's gonna be a fantastic Super Bowl. Really looking forward to it. Those are our official championship round picks for for the NFL playoffs.
All right, there you go. Terrific two picks for the conference championship round. Because, yeah, there's no more four games. This is it. We're down to two games left on Sunday to determine who goes to the Super Bowl.
Next week we get the Pro Bowl.
Woo!
Fun.
Oh, my gosh. Keep your pants on because the Pro Bowl's coming at you. a break is actually coming your way here on the podcast. We got to get ready for the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. We still have plenty more shows still to come here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunching.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. And we've got a special surprise. We didn't even know this was happening.
This was not planned at all.
Yes.
She's so special.
Yes, she is. Netta's here on the podcast. Netta, thank you for surprising us. This is great. What's going on in your world?
Well, I was around the corner on a date.
Oh,
a first date.
Oh.
Yeah, here we go. Now we're talking.
Literally around the corner.
Uh-huh.
There's so many things. There's so many things.
So many things. Okay.
I mean, where should I start?
Okay,
first things first,
and this is really why I want you on the podcast here.
Okay.
So we do a quizzo over at Guppy's Good Times.
A.K.A. Bar Trivia. There's different terms that people use.
Yes. Also, this is free advertising for them, so we expect like more t-shirts and plastic sunglasses.
Yes, yeah. I want more of everything.
Yep.
So they do this quizzo night. We went Monday. And the quizzo guy there is relatively new. He's been doing it now for a couple months, and
yeah,
there's a certain pattern to how he does the quizzo and the rounds, and
mm-hmm.
there's certain categories that he does, and you know we try our best to answer it. But then tonight, Tuesday night,
wait, let me
yeah, okay,
it's her story, Rick.
It's my story. God,
okay.
So I'm on this date. Never met this guy before. And there's this brewery that I wanted to try.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
There's a brewery I wanted to try. And so I said, why don't we go check it out? And we got there and there was Quizzo.
Uh-huh.
And I can't get away from Quizzo.
Yeah. I love Quizzo too. That's why we all do it on Monday nights. Yeah.
Right. And so he has a different variety of rounds. And it's like one of them was conspiracy theories. And one of them was... World geography.
And
I was like, I don't know any of this shit.
Two word TV shows and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And there was one that was two word TV series.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what's really interesting? Date that I've never met before. last night, me and my friends did a quizzo and we had the same category.
Right.
So he starts asking the questions. And the first exact question was naming the characters of South Park. And I said, well, that's weird because that's the same one that we had last night. And then the second question was Pied Piper from this HBO series. And I was like, that's Silicon Valley. And the only reason I know that is because that was number two question last night.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. My God.
So I was like, holy shit, this is the same category. But what drove me nuts is the two questions we got wrong, I got wrong.
Oh, come on.
The same ones?
Yes.
Yeah, because they were really obscure.
But it wasn't
shows.
That I got them wrong. It was that I switched them.
Oh.
So Picket Fences, I didn't remember. But I did remember the Waltons, and I put it in the wrong spot. Do you want to know how much we lost by in the entire quizzo?
2 points.
One.
Oh, no.
1 point.
That's a heartbreaker.
Yeah.
But I was so pissed.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's like telling me there's no Santa Claus.
Yeah.
So
is there like a universal quizzo base?
There's like a forum somewhere.
where they share
where guys
like,
are like quizzoing at each other.
That sounds
quizzoing
weird.
At each
yeah,
other.
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
I know.
No. Yeah. Wait, did you say you don't know and you know?
I knew.
Quizzoing at each other.
Yeah, he knows.
Yeah, he knows too. So
it's
yeah,
pervy. It's pervy.
Okay, I imagine. Nobody can see your eyebrow wiggles.
Pervy. It's pervy.
I want to isolate that.
It's pervy.
So all right. So that was the whole Quizzo thing. You were texting me that, so I was keeping
yes,
aware of
and
that.
And I texted you guys immediately. So Rachel yeah. goes, "Hey, what are you doing Friday?" And I wrote Rachel all in caps. Like I was so. And this poor guy. I'm like, I can't talk to you right now. I need to text all of my Quizzo people and tell them
of this
how
scandal.
It was a
this
scandal.
Is another scandal.
It was like
we're dealing
I
with
covered.
Scandals.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was appalled. I was horrified. I was in awe. I was like, how the hell did I not remember any of this stuff? But I remember Quantum Leap.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
Like,
one.
I got everything else right. The Americans. I didn't know any of those answers last night. And I remembered all of them but the two that we needed. But I had to text you guys immediately. And I texted you all in caps. And I was losing my mind.
Well,
and
this,
I kept...
it is. This is news breaking, seismic... shattering news.
Is there like a Quizzo
across the county? They're
like,
all
is there
cheating.
Like a Quizzo collective or something? Yeah. Like, is there it, like is a there central like
Quizzo database or something?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, where are they getting these things from?
I don't know, but I lost my mind, and it might have cost me the date. But he still wants to go out on another one. I think because I killed the sound round.
Yeah,
that's definitely
of course.
It.
So, wait, was there a different story for the date too, or was it all the Quizzo?
Oh, I mean, the date's not as important as the fact that Quizzo was ruined
in terms,
for me for life.
In terms of priority, yeah, definitely yes. Quizzo, then date, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, this date was good. We might go on a second one, but...
You should go to all the Quizzos and get progressively better.
Is there a third Quizzo happening
well,
somewhere around
second
here?
Place, and we wanted to put, as our Quizzo name, we wanted to put something like, we never met, but then I knew the Quizzo guy would be like, what is that all about? Like, I knew he'd want to know more about it, and I'm like, I'm not ready to admit that I never met this guy.
I was on a Quizzo team once called Tinder Date.
And was it a Tinder date?
No, but it was just funny to, it was funny to just put that
right,
out there.
But I didn't want to be part of... It was bad enough that we were on a first date and we were like hardcore playing Quizzo within minutes, which could have been, you know, love at first
Quizzo.
Trivia.
Love at first Quizzo.
Right. Love at yeah. first question.
Aww. That would have been really sweet. That sounds like,
that's a Hallmark movie.
Yeah. That sounds like a really bad Hallmark movie. Yeah.
Can you believe we got second?
Yeah.
And it was all because I'm an idiot that didn't remember that the Waltons and picket fences were switched.
Did you get any prize for second place though?
We got $15.
Oh, right, that's there you something.
Go. Yeah, that's good. And he insisted on paying, and he said, I'm sorry we're using the $15. I feel cheap. And I'm like, are you joking? Like, men usually jump on splitting the bill with me.
There you go.
But he refused to split.
Oh, that's a nice guy.
Very nice guy, yeah.
He had an amazing beard and really nice dimples.
Oh, uh-oh. Sold?
Oh, yeah. No, the beard was... I would sit on that beard.
Wow.
No, I didn't... Okay. All right. I'm sorry to make sure it's, you know, a censored podcast.
It's never
again,
censored when
but,
you're wrong.
No,
I know.
We just put up the disclaimer.
I saw what you put up for
just
last
put up
week,
a disclaimer?
Like,
yeah, we always put up a disclaimer.
Yeah, it's copious cursing. Like, I don't copiously curse.
No, that's a standard boilerplate one that I have.
I know. Well, can you make it like a
do you
little...
want me to... What? What do you want to... What do you want to... What do you want
say
to...
It's
to
like,
can I write it? All, can
yeah,
I write...
You,
let me write
if
it.
If you write it and send it to me, I'll put that as the official
thank
disclaimer.
Thank you. Like a little bit lewd.
A little
really
bit lewd.
Really funny.
I like the way you said that. A little bit lewd.
You should
a little
use
bit lewd.
The common... You should use the... The common.
How you doing, little
he's
little
gone.
I don't
gone.
Know what this is. I don't know what
this
is.
This is common.
It sounded like a song. I don't know.
Little, right, but yeah. I let me write it because when I go to listen to the episode, I'm just like, oh, like it's like it's you don't want to go into it because it's like warning. Copious cursing and everybody's horrible and your children whose eyeballs will fall out. Like it's like a whole thing of.
Their eyeballs are going to fall out from an audio-only podcast.
Their eyeballs are going to like pop out of their sockets. Wow. I don't know.
It's so harsh on their ears, the eyes just explode.
Right. I mean, have you seen it? It's like you go to listen and you're like, oh, I can't. Oh, my God, I can't listen
it's
to
so
this.
It's so scandalous.
I'm going straight to hell. Like,
yes.
You got to
like, if people have been
on
this ride for 7 years, they're already on that train
to
hell.
No one will listen to it because of how you how you put that warning up.
Okay. Rich, what are you doing?
No, I was putting up a standard.
Copious cursing.
I really love that one. Copious.
It's just, it's the first thing I
copious
say.
Copious cursing.
And I love the word, but I can't get behind it.
Copious or cursing?
Well, it's not like I'm up here like, shit, fuck, cunt. Like, it's not just like,
but now
I mean,
are.
Now.
But now
yeah.
you are.
So well, now there's
hold on. Do disclaimer. I need to remind you of your 2020 slogan?
Nope.
Nope. You remember?
I know it. Because I'm Cunty Cunty 2020.
There you go.
Yeah, see, that's the official.
Maybe we keep the copious cursing.
Fine, but let's work on it.
Okay.
Okay.
Like, let's
send
not
me,
scare people away.
You send me a different disclaimer, I'll use it.
Okay.
Okay.
Keep the same disclaimer, but then just put dot, dot, dot. But it's a good time.
But it's lewd.
But it's a good time.
It's a little lewd.
It's a little lewd tonight.
People won't be able to read the singing in text format, Rich, unless you put like little music emojis.
Music, yeah, we're going to have the music emojis.
There you go.
There you go.
This warning should be sung. Warning, this warning should be sung.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was good. And Quizzo has been ruined for me forever.
Yeah.
So here's what we're doing. On a Monday night,
we're going
to Quizzo
get this guy.
And Guppies. And then we're going to Quizzo. It's not even the same guy. So
oh,
they,
it's
like,
not.
Talk.
So,
no, it wasn't the same guy.
It's not the same guy.
No, they like have like a
So yeah, they must. Like there must be like a Quizzo like
network.
Yes,
yeah, a Quizzo network somewhere.
And I'm pissed.
Or are they hired by like the same company?
Yeah, is there like a Quizzo company that
I'm
does
pissed.
It?
Like, do you do your work? I've been Quizzo.
Do your research,
fan
yeah.
enough yeah. to know you do your due diligence. I don't know what your day job is, but you have a week.
Yeah,
you have
an
to
entire
come up
week
with questions.
Come on, there's Google, there's what, there's other games. You go to game shows.
It was
game
like,
shows got questions.
When I was 13 years old and my mom sat me down and told me there was no Santa Claus.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
And I said, "You lied to me. You lied to me." And I cried and everyone laughed at me.
I'm very disappointed in this development. And you know what? They have no excuse because we do the 24-hour game show marathon. And we do 24 game shows in 24 hours.
That's right.
And we
you do.
Put together all these ridiculous questions. We don't have any. We don't have excuses if we don't come up with questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have a whole database full of stuff. All right.
We
so
need
these
to storm in there.
Yeah.
With
confront
our
DJ
lanterns.
Whatever.
What are those things with the sticks
torches,
and they're on
torches.
Torches. Thank you.
Yes.
Torches and pitchforks.
Sticks.
Ben has been
on
drinking
fire.
A little bit.
Just
little
a little bit.
A little bit.
I had a couple flights.
And we're going to confront Mr. Quizzo Man. At the Guppies.
And at Tannery Run.
And at Tannery, yeah, Rock.
Run.
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 Yeah.
Rock?
Is
Row.
It Rock or Run?
It's right around the corner, and I got so excited to come over here afterwards.
There you go.
And
so there
ruin
is,
and crash your podcast.
No,
line.
This is awesome. So there
this
is a website,
huge conspiracy theory.
quizzoquestions.com, but I'm not finding the one that you mentioned about the two-word...
Two-word TV shows.
Two-word TV shows.
It's this bullshit.
Is, yeah. We need
talk
to
talk about conspiracy theories. One of the categories was conspiracy theories.
Yeah,
this is,
and it's like this is one.
We need to take this to higher authorities. The FBI need to be involved. This is worldwide. Well,
Quizzo guys
Pennsylvania
in
wide.
The Philadelphia area.
Yeah, Philadelphia
cheating.
Area.
I want to see. Lazy. I want to see if there's other Quizzos out there. Like, if there's a Quizzo tomorrow.
Yeah.
Right. Like, we should go somewhere every day. I have dates
every day
almost
of the week.
Every day this week.
Every
day. Just try to find Quizzos.
Just find different Quizzos. Yeah.
Yeah, I should.
You got to get to the bottom of this.
Wait, you have other dates?
You'll really impress them because.
I'm trying to line them up. Knock them down.
Yeah.
That's how you got to do it, right?
Yep. Yeah. Set them up, you knock them down.
The one guy on Thursday, he's 46.
Ooh.
That's a 10-year difference.
Wow. That's.
Yeah.
That's like right on the edge of acceptability.
I know. And then my favorite is when he's like, "I'm really excited for our date," and I'm like, "Well, I'm not, but let's just get to it." Oh,
wah, wah.
Come on! When you date as much as I do, I'm not into it anymore. All right, well, Mike, we can't find our first love of our life after one date.
It wasn't one
after
date,
being on Match for 10 seconds.
Wasn't 10 seconds either, but it's been a whirlwind. Yes,
yeah, it's been 100 years. So shut up. I'm like,
it hasn't been 100 years.
No, I'm corpsing.
You're corpsing?
Yes. I'm rotting in my own dating filth at this point. So shut up.
I'm so glad you signed the Crashes podcast. This
Thank
is
you
great.
For having me.
We're going to give you a drink before every time you come on.
No, I... Yeah, there was a moment where I was like, I should bring a beer with me and just have it as like a warm up.
There you go.
What, to the podcast?
Yeah.
Warming up.
Yeah.
I'll you do should. It.
All right. There you go. That's the on.
I'll
on
stop tap. At Tannery Run. I'll there crash their Quizzo.
This is what we're going to do on Tuesdays. We'll do podcast. We'll do Tannery Run Quizzo, and then we'll just come back and record.
Wait, really? Can we? I'm so.
Can excited. We fit it all?
I mean, can we fit it all in? I don't know. That's the magic question.
Boners sure. up.
What?
Boners up.
Boners up.
Boners up.
Is that the sound it makes? Like
that's
a slide whistle?
That's what his pretty little penis sounds like.
Yeah.
We're not going to get on that subject again, are we?
It's all right. We can stop there.
All right. Well, we are running now a little bit late on the podcast. Should
a lot,
we?
A lot late.
A little bit. Should we?
I'm also late.
late. Yeah. Not
late coming to the podcast.
Good.
Just kidding. I got my period today.
Okay, good.
Thank you for that breaking news. That late breaking news.
All right. So yeah, should
so
we
So should we what segment are we in?
It's
What's happening?
We got it launch into
What's happening?
I know Nena's throwing us off a little bit, but we'll launch into the next scheduled portion of the show, the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the entertainment entree.
Hi, my name is Gus Johnson, and I am not a Star Wars fan. I guess the movies just weren't for me. You know, I thought the lasers were pretty cool, and I think we can all agree that Jar Jar was good for a few hearty chuckles, but other than that, I haven't seen a Star Wars film in years. I gotta tell you, I've got no idea what's going on in the Star Wars world, and frankly, I am just loving it. Some of my hobbies include respecting my fellow man.
Hey, you have a great night. You have a good night, okay?
Actually having a good time on Twitter.
Oh man, these people are a riot.
And somehow having all the non-Star Wars rides all to myself at Disneyland.
Gosh, no line again.
Well, we need the pool round two.
When I think of some words that I would use to describe my life, I think of words like calm and peaceful and happy and, oh golly, what's that last term? It's perfect in every way.
Hey man, have you seen the new Star Wars movie?
No, I have not.
Oh, I got to talk about this.
Okay.
this guy. I got to admit, it was pretty funny. Short video by Gus Johnson claiming that his life is perfect, not being a Star Wars fan.
He's not wrong, is he?
I think he's wrong. But
okay.
I get where it's coming from because it seems like the last couple of Star Wars movies have been very antagonizing to the Star Wars base, and
look at
people
how
have had very extreme reactions to the movies. So I get where it's coming from with the whole, my life is perfect that I don't know Star Wars and everything. But, oh man, I still don't understand how you can make it through.
Well, we all love Star Wars here. But, I mean, think about how whipped into a frenzy we get when we talk about the sequel trilogy specifically.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Well, and people, anytime that I've come across people who haven't seen it, they think it's such a huge undertaking, so they don't want to begin the journey.
Right. But it's really not. All you really need to
Listen, I agree.
Yeah. Like all you got to do is at least watch A New Hope. At least start off with that one.
Start with the basics.
Yes, that's what I try to say. Start with the original three.
Yeah.
And then end at the original three if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, everything else really, the way that Star Wars was written is you could watch any trilogy isolated from the others and have a decent time.
Yeah.
Like you said, it doesn't need to be a 9 or 11 movie commitment. It can be a 3 movie commitment if you really want it to be.
Guys, are we going to have a Star Wars marathon?
We should. When the 9th one comes out on video, we should like watch all 9.
And podcast through it.
Like that's going to be a really long podcast. That's going to be a long
podcast. Well, not necessarily. Like a beginning and then a recap of each.
Oh, we
that
could
would
do
end
that.
Up being 2 hours if we watch for 16 straight hours, right? and we have each? To drink. I get to drink through it.
That's fine. Go ahead, drinking.
16. It would be longer than 16.
Yeah,
it would
be longer.
Right?
One, all right.
It'd be like 18? More than 20.
That's fine.
Be around. If well, are we doing just the episodes?
All of them.
All of them.
Yep. All 9.
Yep.
Now, which order are we watching them in? Are we watching them in sequential order? Are we watching them in chronological order? Or are we watching them in 4, 5, flashback, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Chronological.
Okay, so 1 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, interesting.
That'll be fun. Yeah, I'd like to do that.
Is Rogue One in there? Because Rogue One connects the prequel trilogy with the original trilogy.
So is that like 24 hours?
Then you're talking 10 movies at 2 hour.
Well, it's not just 2 hours because the new ones are all like 2.5, 3
yep.
hours.
Yeah.
So you're looking at 24 hours.
Yeah, probably.
It could be a 24-hour Star Wars marathon.
Let's do it. I'm in.
I'm already used to marathons. Yeah, we got the game show marathon.
But we should like do charity, you know?
Star Wars marathon.
I mean, I just want an excuse to drink for 24 hours.
Oh, well, I mean.
That's fine.
You can do that.
Okay, great.
Star Wars and drinking. There you go.
Yeah, so take that, Gus Johnson. You think you got a perfect life without Star Wars. Ha!
It would be less stressful talking about Star Wars if I had never seen the movies, but then I wouldn't have seen the movies.
Right, and you wouldn't have the enlightening experience of
the passion
of being a Star Wars fan and enjoying the Jedi versus the Sith and lightsabers and Han Solo and everything I love about it. So there you go. That's what I'm telling you.
I like how everything was just general categories and then specifically Han Solo.
Yeah. Because Han Solo.
You're like, the fight of good versus evil, this, that, and Han Solo, and other vague generalities.
Yeah. Well, Harrison Ford's badass in the original trilogy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know who's the worst?
In the original trilogy?
Luke.
He's kind of nerdy.
But I mean, he's supposed to be. He's only supposed to be like 18 in the first movie. So yeah.
My friends and I, we would always say, drink every time Luke whines.
Oh, yeah.
You die.
Oh, yeah. You die. We were wasted by Empire Strikes Back. And they were like, now what?
Now what?
Uncle Owen.
I want to go to the Tashi Station.
Pick up some power converters.
Yeah.
What kind of talk is that?
I love the one robot chicken that said the power converters were actually strippers.
And yeah.
Like, you see that? It comes up, power converters, and like they're dancing and woo, yeah, there's some
power converters were actually strippers.
Yeah, they made a skit on robot chicken. Yeah, that's what Luke was referring to.
Is it code? Power converters is code for strippers?
Right, in this skit that robot chicken did, yeah. They weren't parts. They were strippers. Which, why not? It's Mos Eisley.
A little bit of both.
There's scum and villainy. It makes sense. You know? There could have been.
Yeah.
Rich loves strippers.
Yeah.
I don't discriminate. Okay. Let's go to the portion of the show where Mike lets us know for future movies that are coming up. With Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Praise the glorious leader.
All right. Praise the glorious leader.
I haven't heard that one in a while.
I know. We haven't played that one in a while.
Was that you?
That was me.
That's weird.
Praise the glorious leader. That was from really, really early.
Okay. Yeah.
Like super early.
That's him worshiping Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un, yeah.
Praise the glorious leader. So back when we first started, we had recurring stories of Dennis Rodman trying to broker peace with North Korea through basketball diplomacy. Yeah. Praise the glorious leader.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
We get it.
I still like it.
Rich plays every sound clip.
Oh, it was very erotic.
No.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic. Yes.
I hope your sports section was like 2 minutes long.
It wasn't, but that's okay. In movies, Bad Boys for Life is the third film in the franchise and a sequel to 2003's Bad Boys 2.
Oh, my God.
Yes?
No, I'm so excited for this. Go on.
The once inseparable partners have drifted apart, One has become a police inspector while the other is assigned to lead a new group of millennial cops with whom he has nothing in common. But the two must reunite to take down a ruthless cartel. What did I? I was drunk when I read this. When a ruthless cartel mob boss whose brother.
I feel left out. Everybody's been drinking except me.
I don't know what happened to this. When a ruthless cartel mob boss makes a retaliatory move against them as they are about to retire. There are currently no reviews out for the film, which isn't always a great sign, but given the return of the original actors, Will Smith and Martin Lawrence, along with producers Jerry Bruckheimer and Michael Bay, fans of the series should at the very least expect an exciting action film to heat up the cold winter weather.
So who's who? Who's the millennial leader and who's the...
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
You just have to watch and find out.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, well, scroll down to the Ambler Theater.
Yeah. Oh, they're not
going to
show
it. Together.
That's all indie stuff at the Ambler Theater.
Oh.
Okay.
Ooh, yes.
In television.
How lewd.
How lewd and copious cursing. In television. We have a surprise, a good... What is happening? What are you laughing
He's
so much
drunk.
About? He's drunk, too.
I'm not even drunk.
What's in that water bottle?
I think she was trying to do Jurassic Park. Was that,
I was a what? T-Rex.
That was a T-Rex?
No.
Do a T-Rex.
T-Rex is more like...
Okay.
That's my T-Rex.
That's your T-Rex?
Mm-hmm. Watch out.
All right. Watch out. The T-Rex is coming. I'm not even drunk.
I can't explain this. In television. That's This Week in Entertainment.
Right, there you go. All right. That's This Week in Entertainment.
I couldn't pull it back.
Yeah, that's
fine.
Oh,
God. I lost my rundown as well.
And, you know, that's fine because we're running short
on
time.
We had to cut it anyway.
But just real quick, Oscar nominations came out. The big ones that got the most nominations were The Irishman. They got 10 nominations, which I'm happy about. Marriage Story got 6. The Two Popes got 3. Joker has more than 10. Your movie that you just saw, 1917, they got more than 10.
Yeah.
And Once Upon a Time in Hollywood got more than 10. So there's a lot of big movies up there.
A lot of big movies got 10 plus award nominations. What you were reading were the Netflix titles were nominated for 23 awards together. Yep. Irishman, Marriage Story, Two Popes, and then a whole bunch of smaller films, one apiece. It'll be really interesting to see how Netflix fares in the Oscars, considering how it bombed at the Golden Globes with 34 nominations, only 2 wins. So we'll see if Netflix can gain any more awards this time around. But I was a little surprised to see that these 4 movies got 10 plus award nominations.
Yeah. Well, I mean they were the ones everybody was talking about other than 1917 because that literally just came out this past week. But all
I was talking about it.
Oh, here we go.
There you go. Yeah,
I made a little note here at the bottom of the rundown, which Nana can't see because we didn't print one out for her because she was a surprise guest. But This Week in Entertainment, This Week in Entertainment, the segment I just cut short, featured 8 of the 9 movies nominated for Best Picture.
Good
last
job,
year.
Mike. You have a stellar
I'm
track
so
record.
I'm so good at this. My name is Mikey, and I'm so good at this.
I'm just saying.
We get it. Your boner's huge.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
Copious.
It's copious
boner.
And lewd.
It's so lewd.
It's so lewd. But anyway, this segment is just shot to shit. So,
well, there you go.
I wouldn't have it any other way. Where were we? The Joker was surprising with 11 nominations.
Why?
Because critically, it was panned big time.
The film critics.
The
and
film
stuff.
Critics hated it.
Yeah, but that's because it's like, how many times can you do that movie before someone dies? Oh, wait.
The Joker?
People
Spoiler.
Playing the Joker?
He died.
The Joker died?
Heath Ledger?
Talking about actors playing the Joker.
Oh.
Not the actual character itself.
Oh, I don't know. Does he stay alive in it?
I don't know. I assume.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, I...
Actually, the only time the Joker's ever been killed off has been the 89 Batman with Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson's still alive. How do you like that?
Wait, the Joker got killed off in that?
In the 89 Batman, yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Joker was also killed in the video game series.
Oh, well, I was talking about movies.
Well, I'm just lumping them all together.
Damn it,
no,
Mike.
I meant the actors.
The actors. Well, how many Joker actors have died? It's only been
Heath
the one.
Ledger.
Only Heath Ledger. And, I mean, Cesar Romero, too. He's dead.
Oh. But he was old, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then that one guy.
Verdict is still out on Joaquin Phoenix.
Right.
Right.
He's been kind
he's
of
like
more
the
loony
Tupac
and loony.
Of our generation.
He is?
Tupac? Yeah, he faked his own death.
He went into retirement early and like never was never heard from until he decided to come back.
Right.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Joaquin
Phoenix spent like 5 years just away. He just like up and left.
And his brother OD'd, so close enough.
That was the Phoenix that I was thinking. I was like, wasn't
River.
There a Phoenix that yeah, River Phoenix, yeah. He played so young Indiana hot. Jones in Indiana Jones
uh-huh.
3, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
He was hot.
Okay.
It's a shame.
Yeah. All right, so any other things you want to mention about this year's Oscars? Because, yeah, we're running short on time.
So real quick, there are a lot of major snubs that are getting a lot of press. Adam Sandler, who many thought was going to get a nomination for Best Lead Actor for Uncut Gems, was not nominated, and he has promised to make a terrible movie in response.
He's pissed.
Oh, really?
Because think about Adam Sandler for a second. He goes out of his comfort zone, out of his wheelhouse to do a dramatic role. It is one of the best films of the year, seventh best according to Metacritic scoring. It got no nominations, and Adam Sandler gets snubbed for what people have said is his hands down best performance and one of the best performances of the year. I mean, that's kind of rough.
Yeah,
you know?
But that happens with the Oscars. You know?
It does happen. It's a popularity contest.
Yeah, and also most of these categories, you only get five movies or roles to pick from.
Yeah,
it's really a crowded field. You're not going to get a nomination just because you stomp your feet and you demand for one. That's more the Golden Globes, because at least they do drama, comedy, miniseries.
Well,
you know, there's different avenues to go down.
Well, the Oscars nominations, they do stomp their feet because they all put out their advertising things
in the industry. There's only five, like for Best Actor, there's only five.
There's only five spots.
That's it. Period. Are you actually going to contend with Joaquin Phoenix, Jonathan Pryce, Adam Driver, Leonardo DiCaprio, Antonio Banderas? No. You're out of your mind if you really think you had a shot at it.
If he
really?
Makes
yeah.
another Billy Madison out of this, I'm okay with that.
I'd like another Billy Madison.
Billy Madison is my favorite.
Yeah. Early Adam Sandler was great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to see Uncut Gems, though, because it got a lot of great press, and people thought it was going to get several nominations. It got zero. That was really shocking.
Yeah,
another one, The Farewell... won a Golden Globe. The actress Awkwafina won a Golden Globe.
The
Oscars, it got zero nominations again. I saw that one. It was very, very good. I can see why it didn't get many nominations, because it's not the type of film that would draw audiences to watch the Oscars. Like, oh, The Farewell. I want to watch the Oscars to see how it does. But it was very good. Another surprising snub, Lupita Nyong'o for Us. I mean, she was the only reason that movie was... Well, there were a lot of reasons it was compelling, but she was the main reason it was so compelling. Did either of you see Us? No?
No, I didn't get a chance to see Us.
Okay,
no.
So that's...
This is Us. Is a show on it?
No, not that one.
That's the one.
But yeah, so a lot of major snubs this year, but still a lot of interesting storylines to follow. Like the big four movies being nominated for 10-plus awards each. Netflix having all those nominations. So we'll keep you posted. After the Academy Awards, we will, of course, let you know about all the winners and what went down there.
Yep. Also, as we get closer, usually we do Vegas odds, because you can bet on the...
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that. Do you know that?
I was here last year.
Oh, yeah?
When you did
For
that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're a veteran then of the Oscar
I'm such
odds.
A veteran, in the sense that I'm really old.
Would you say corpsing?
Corpse. Yeah, corpsing.
Corpsing everywhere.
All right. Well, I'll be sure to let you know what the Vegas odds are when they get released as we get closer to the Oscars. All right. But with that, we need to officially wrap this segment up. Are you going to stick around for odd news then?
Yeah, I mean, if you really want to be part of this.
Sure. We'll have you
for make
odd
it sound
news.
Like we don't have a choice.
So, coming up next, we'll have the non-fortune cookie odd news. Nana will help us react to these ridiculous stories that I've got coming up next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Don't be a big, stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. Hey, that is order.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done with the sports sampler. Nena has crashed the podcast for the entertainment entree.
I'm still here, bitches.
Yep.
And wow.
Sticking around for the third and final segment of the show. And she's dancing. I love the dancing.
It's great.
It's great. I love it. Oh, God. It's great. Without further ado, Mike, what's it time for?
It's time for the Wacky the Wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. What does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Woo, odd news.
Oh. Okay. It's time for the non-fortune cookie hot news. In this segment, Rich researches the news. He reads the news. And I can't remember what I was going to say. These guys are making weird faces all throughout that intro.
Yeah, I was trying to play the face game. Haven't you ever played the face game?
No.
Face.
I make a face and you have to replica it.
Replica it?
Kate.
Replicate.
Kate. Okay. Yes. Okay.
Well, not now.
Yeah, it's I know. I'm not. No.
We got a podcast. Come on, Mike.
The non-fortune cookie odd news. The point is, we don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. We have no idea what's about to happen. Rich, what do you got for us
first? What's about to happen, Rich?
What's about to happen? Tell us.
All right. So this first story, I have to play this clip that's going viral from the Canadian version of Family Feud.
My God.
Yeah, I think
there's going to be a lot of A's and sorries.
Yes.
I love Family Feud.
All right. So there was a point in this episode where it came down to the sudden death question where
yes.
two families, they don't have enough to reach 300. So there's a sudden death question. Host reads the question. Whoever rings in and gets it right, they win the whole shebang. This lady has arguably one of the dumbest answers in game show history, and it's going viral right now. Here is the full clip.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken!
Oh my God!
Show me chicken!
Yes, so the question was name Popeye's favorite food, and she rings in and says chicken.
Maybe she doesn't know Popeye's.
Well,
I get what she
said. Oh, but it's Popeyes. Maybe she thought he said Popeyes.
But it's Popeye the Sailor, the cartoon.
Right, the cartoon.
Yeah, but what if he didn't specify?
No, he says, what is Popeye's favorite food?
What is Popeye's?
Here's
the character, yeah.
So, yeah, okay, but here's the thing, is that Popeye's possessive sounds like Popeye's
makes chicken
name.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So when you say, what is Popeye's favorite food, verbally, you can't tell that it's possessive or just...
She was right.
Yeah, she was right.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys are an offender?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It's very misleading. It's
sorry.
It's super misleading.
Poo-poo all over you.
I don't know.
We just shot that story down.
Well, no, because I do have a file. This is the reason why I'm playing this clip.
Oh, she got arrested for cocaine.
Right after the show. She had enough of life. She couldn't believe she got screwed over. Bam, that's it. Went into a full-blown 8-ball cocaine binge.
Now that's odd news.
Wow.
Yeah.
All
right. Right off the... No. No, that's not what happened. So... obviously the buzzer rang, so she got it wrong. Her family lost the $10,000 and, you know, they walked away with nothing. The clip went viral. Everybody's been playing it. The morning shows have been playing it. This clip has 2 million views on YouTube already. But Popeyes, the actual restaurant chain, has decided to step in. They felt bad for Eve, the blonde that came up with this answer. And they've decided that they are going to give her $10,000 worth of Popeyes gift certificates.
See, we were on the right track.
So, yeah.
I don't know, but here's the thing.
Hey, that's pretty good.
I mean, it sounds pretty
this
good.
This doesn't sound sad.
No, this is a great story.
Why does it have to be sad?
Because
it's odd news.
Every single odd news story you've ever told in your life.
It doesn't have to be
has
sad.
Been depressing.
No, what about the lady who married an airplane and the lady who married
don't
a Ferris wheel.
Don't get me on the rom-coms again.
Yeah,
okay?
That was a nice story.
Yeah, there's some nice stories. Yeah.
Shats. Good old Shats.
Shats, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Doesn't have to be
but this
sad.
This is also very positive. I would say not odd at all. I understand her chicken answer.
I'm into it.
It makes sense to me. And I like the fact that the restaurant stepped up and like, hey, this is free advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that part, but still to give her $10,000 worth of Popeye's gift certificates.
Nope. I'm on board.
Can you spend $10,000 worth of gift certificates
sure.
at a Popeyes?
As long as they don't expire and you have a Popeyes near you, just go like once a month or something and just get chicken for the rest of your life.
For the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But do you think I'm going to get a little, maybe I'm going to get a little, stereotypical here, but she's like, you guys can't see because you don't have the video clip. She's like a thin blonde.
She's not eating a lot of Popeye's chicken.
Right. She doesn't seem like the kind of a girl that would be hanging out at the Popeye's.
So you're racist.
No, I'm not being racist. I'm just saying.
He's saying that she probably doesn't eat a lot of fast food in general and fried chicken.
Right. I don't think she's going to spend $10,000 worth of Popeye's in her entire life. Uh-uh.
But you know what?
Well, let's
it's
do
there,
the math.
It's there if she
Who's
wants
got
to.
Got a calculator?
I got a calculator right now. So
are we going to go through this?
A 10-piece family meal
Let's break it down.
So what do we want to know? A 10-piece family meal is $20.
Okay.
So, say they do that once a week? I don't know.
Well, no. How much is like a chicken sandwich? $5?
You just want a chicken sandwich?
Just say $5. So, say she gets $5. How long would it take to spend $10,000 if you're spending $5 a pop?
Why can't I just see a menu?
Can't you just do $5 divided by 10,000?
Oh, yeah. So $5.
Or the other way around. 10,000 divided by 5.
Come on, Mike. You have the Google up. I can't.
I'm trying. So she would have to order 2,000 chicken sandwiches.
Okay. So, and there's 365 days in a year.
Right.
So if she does it like
6 years? She got to do a chicken sandwich every day for 6 years? She
it might
doing
be
that.
12 years. What if she does it once a week or twice a week?
I mean, maybe once a week.
Okay.
So
how
many
once
years?
A week, let's say she spends $10 a day once a week.
$10 a day.
This is 10 years. Like all the math problems that you ever heard in like first grade.
Guys, you picked the worst person to math. You understand that,
You're
right?
You're the one with a computer in front of you.
Yeah, mines are loaded up with stupid sound effects.
I've had beer.
19 years?
Yeah.
If she spent $10 a week, so 10 times 52, mm-hmm. and then 10,000 divided by 520, that's...
20 years?
19.23 076-0231. Okay.
But do you think she's actually going to go and spend that
well,
amount?
What if she throws like a yearly party for her family and it spends $1,000?
Would you go to...
That's 10 years
would you
of
go
parties.
To a, would you go to a family party at a Popeyes?
Yes, why, if it was why not? Free.
It's just fried... It's chicken tenders and fried chicken. It's delicious. Why?
Listen, they did it promotionally, probably knowing that she wouldn't spend the $10,000.
Yeah.
So let's say she's going with the 10-piece family meal for $20. She can get 500 of those, and you just spread them out across, you know, however many weeks or months or years you want to do it.
I would like this prize.
That's like... That's
well,
like,
you should have went on Family Feud Canada and given this answer, because... Eh? Eve is getting...
Rich, you're in the minority here.
I am. I think this is
first
dumb.
Off, that was a, so it was a great excited. Answer.
No, it's a dumb answer.
Secondly, it's a great prize.
I agree.
And thirdly, this is a great feel-good story, and that lady is going to be loving it, eating all that fried chicken.
I feel really good, and you used the wrong slogan by saying loving it.
That's yeah, that's
McDonald's.
Right. That's McDonald's.
I think Popeye's
is that
like,
even their slogan anymore? Yep.
That's actually not Popeye's
slogan. No, it's
slogan.
Not. What is Popeye's slogan?
Well, that's what Popeye
Louisiana
sounds like.
Louisiana Fest something.
No, I think it's like...
No, that's the cartoon
That's the cartoon.
Right, and he eats spinach, which was the right answer, you
yes.
dumb bitch.
Right, exactly.
All
the
right.
The answer's spinach.
Next story.
Yes, the answer is spinach, but Popeye's, the restaurant chain, is spelled... Just Popeye's with an S. Popeye's...
Listen, I agree with you.
Possessive is apostrophe S. You can't hear that. Verbally, there's no way to indicate if it's Popeyes or Popeyes.
No, Mike, we get that.
I know. I'm explaining it to Rich.
There, everyone's on board. Rich,
everyone
who's not
in
on
the
board.
World. Hashtag Popeyes or Popeyes, which is which? I don't know because it's verbal.
Popeyes
it's
or Popeyes.
Ooh.
Where's the apostrophe? Popeye. Hashtag where's
which
the apostrophe?
One?
Popeyes.
When I say Popeyes or Popeyes, which one is the restaurant?
Popeyes.
See that? You don't know. You don't know.
It's Popeyes. And even then, I don't think she's going to spend $10,000 worth of Popeyes.
I would do what I
highly
could
doubt it.
To do that. I would do what I could.
Unless
she
can actually like physically hand them out to like other people or something. That's the only thing I can think of. Maybe she can like...
How is the gift certificate? Do they literally give her a little tiny plastic card and it's loaded with $10,000?
Exactly.
Or are they handed out in like $5 coupons or...
Right. How exactly does this gift card exchange work?
Or I would make myself the Popeyes guardian angel where I'd walk in and say, Popeyes for everyone!
Yes, that'd be awesome. And they're like, everybody's...
Each time I'm in there.
Exactly. See, there's a lot of cool ways you could use that.
Well, if she's doing that, I can see her blowing through $10,000 worth. But if she actually has to like physically eat it herself, she's not going to go through $10,000 worth of
Popeyes. Wrench, relax.
I'm just saying.
We've
she's
got
not,
it covered.
What if she got barbecue sauce with it?
Well, that would be good for me. It's not going to be good for her. She doesn't like... She doesn't,
you don't know if she likes
I mean,
Popeyes.
By the way, I went to McDonald's and I tried to get Big Mac sauce and they don't offer it.
What?
Yeah.
She got me a little cup with a lid with Big Mac sauce in it.
But
and I was like, this is not just Big Mac sauce. This is semen.
Oh, wow. I didn't know things
Yikes.
Went that crazy.
That's what I assumed.
Remind me not to go to that McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm loving it.
I mean... Copious, Luke.
Right. Yeah, it's copious. It's very copious here. All right.
Spread it all over the buns.
Whoa. That's part of lewd. I'm not, that wasn't me.
Whoa. Time out. You're talking about getting semen from McDonald's and loving it.
What if I was talking about like seamen, like men on the ocean?
Like in the Navy.
Like from, okay.
In the
Navy. See, it's another issue.
Perv?
It's another issue of I don't know what type of semen she's talking about because of it's all verbal.
Semen or
it's
semen.
Not, it's not written out, right? Semen or semen, Rich.
That's
which
right. Popeyes or Popeyes?
In the Navy.
Da, da, da,
to
da,
McDonald's
da,
in
the Navy.
Nana's going to be there in the Navy.
Navy.
Yay! Yeah, that's all I know. Okay. Let's move on.
Go on.
Yes. All right. Let's.
No, don't. Whatever you're about to hit, don't do it.
What? What's wrong?
Who is this fucking guy in Florida?
No, I'm not doing Florida.
Good.
Okay.
I'm over it.
No. Instead, we're going to Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yo, we're from Tennessee.
It's good to yell at people and tell them you're from Tennessee. That way you'll be safe.
Yeah.
No, it should be Arrested Development where it's like, Tennessee, 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 Tennessee.
I don't remember that from Arrested Development.
You know, the song. The song's called Tennessee, and it's by Arrested Development. Get some culture, fellas.
I thought you meant the show Arrested
Gary
Development.
Gary Busey is fine enough culture.
Ugh.
All right? I don't think those words have ever been uttered before.
So what's the story, Rich?
Anyway, a Tennessee woman is facing a domestic assault charge after her boyfriend told police that she bit, scratched, and punched him during some intimate activities on New Year's Day, according
Kinky.
To yeah, right. Around 1:25.
Wait, what was that? That was like a.
That was a single punch.
That was like a cunt butt.
Yes, one punch. Around 1:25 a.m. on January 1st, cops were dispatched to a Nashville apartment in connection with a reported domestic assault. Upon arriving at the residence, the victim told officers that 24-year-old Kristen Paris began to bite, scratch, and punch him as they began some, quote, intimate activities.
So, I don't get it. What's the problem?
Well, he added that the biting and the scratching and the punching was beyond the scope, quote, unquote, of what their normal intimacy routine was. A cop noted that the victim had several scratch marks on his back, bite marks on his left arm, and bite marks on his back.
Wow.
So he couldn't handle it.
Yeah. couldn't handle this Kristen.
Yeah, I want to know what the scope normally is. Like, are they normally...
Let's hear that.
Yeah. Are they normally rough and it just was a step too far? Or like,
well, that might be the case. Paris's boyfriend said that she had punched him several times during another intimate activity a few weeks ago, but he decided not to report that one to the cops. So apparently she's in the, like...
So she's trying for the donkey punch.
Yeah, all the punches. That's her thing. That's what gets her off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking, like, that's a conversation they need to have. Like, why wouldn't he be like, hey, let's not...
What is this, couples therapy?
Well, what I'm saying is, like, after the first time, he's not like, you know, hey, that was weird. Don't punch me again.
Can you not punch me?
Yeah.
I had a friend once when he was having relations with a woman.
Oh, really?
Intimate activities.
She was like, hit me. And he's like, I guess tried a little bit. And she was like, hit me harder. And he was like, I can't. I don't know what you want.
No, yeah,
I'm not
doing
this.
I
wouldn't
do it. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
I
no,
can't. That doesn't.
That's,
uh-uh.
That's a bit much.
I can't.
No,
not...
I've never hit anyone. Yeah. In the relations area.
In the
relations area.
During relations.
You're not into physically brawling? Punching?
No.
I don't understand the punching. That's...
Yeah, right?
That's... Where was she punching him?
Well, he's got the scratch marks on his back and arm, so I guess, like, I don't know. How does that happen?
Like, I just imagine she just, like, just going at him, just punching him in the face or something.
Or maybe, like, they're banging, like, frontwards, and, like, when she's, like, hugging him, she's, like, banging punches on the back.
Banging punches on the back.
Banging punches.
Yeah, like, I
like,
don't
she's
know.
Thumping him on the back.
Yeah, as you're going for it. Does that make any sense?
I don't know how you do it. That's not how the rest of us do it.
I don't
with fists.
I don't
you look like you're climbing a rope ladder.
It's a full body workout.
Yeah. That's you know, when
climbing a rope ladder.
It's pretty hard to get up, but right. Once I do,
it's a success.
That's a success.
Yeah, this seems like an issue they need to talk
with
themselves and not like it shouldn't have gotten this far.
Yeah.
So what happened?
Paris was then charged with domestic assault of the misdemeanor variety.
That's assault, brother.
Yeah. Paris was freed on a $500 bond, so that's
like
it.
Nothing.
Yeah.
It's like $50.
Yeah.
It's nothing too crazy. But yeah, I don't know. That's weird. Punches aren't erotic. I don't get
it. No.
Yeah. Uh-uh.
You know what is erotic?
Punching the Yes, that is.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
There you go.
There you go.
I've never wanted to press that button more.
We should give Nana control of the soundboard.
Oh. Her face lit up like a Christmas tree.
Why don't I just make the soundboard?
I mean, there's tons of apps you can do that.
Like, you know what you should have me do? You should have me sit in on podcasts where I'm not actually on the mic, and I just do sounds in the background and record them, and then you add, like, you know what I mean? No, you're not getting it. Like, no, and you just add them in for future.
Oh, just in future. So you have, like, your own little booth, and you're making the sound effects
like
for the future.
For, like, 2 months straight, I come here every time you do the podcast.
And just make noises?
And just make noises, but, like, according to...
the stories.
You know, like, you're like, oh, it was erotic, and then I'll just be like... and that can be the noise.
Like, so you're, like, a Foley slash sound effect artist.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the guy from Police Academy.
Yeah, there you go. With the beep, sweeps, and the creeps.
All right, we'll work on it. Yeah. Let's this as a side project.
Right, right. We'll work out the kinks on that.
I think the idea of Rich giving up his soundboard is highly troubling to him. He's like, no, my soundboard.
He talked about punching not being erotic and then didn't even hit the erotic. Why am I the one backseat driving his soundboard there?
Because that's a good question. Because I'm driving the ship.
Yeah, well, guess what? I was in the back yelling, punch the soundboard.
Yes, all right.
You idiot.
Because if I punch it too much, then you yell at me.
No, I know. I'm never satisfied. I am a female.
I can't win.
It's what we do.
Just don't
spoiler.
Punch me. Just don't. Whatever you do, just don't punch me, all right?
I mean, listen. I don't know what you're into.
I'm not into punching. That's not one of my things.
What about a delicate, like... jab.
A delicate jab?
Yeah.
No.
Like a swift 1-2.
Like kind of like
I don't want
like
any...
a
no.
Thrust.
Wait, what kind of thrust? Are you talking
about?
And I don't want to thrust with the fist. No. No fist thrust.
All right.
No fist thrusting?
All right.
Yeah, no.
You will not get a thrust.
No. But
a delicate thrust.
I don't know what you're trying to imply.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, next story.
What's going on? I should always have shots before I come here.
This is great. Next story is a Florida story.
Oh.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Well, I mean, this one's appropriate because it seems we all want to have a drink at this point. A tipsy Florida motorist whose blood alcohol content was measured at nearly 3 times the legal limit admitted that he consumed multiple whiskey shots prior to driving, but assured cops that everything is all right. I am a professional drinker.
It's about to get all stupid up in here.
He means alcoholic.
So yeah. The sound effect I would do there is glub, 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 glub.
Yes, just chugging them all back. 54-year-old George Emanuel was collared on New Year's Day after a sheriff's deputy...
What's with all the New Year's Day stories?
Well, I mean, because it's like 2 weeks after New Year's.
The hotbed.
This is when all the stories are coming out.
Hotbed.
Yeah. 54-year-old George Emanuel was collared on New Year's Day after a sheriff's deputy spotted his vehicle speeding in a 35-mile-per-hour zone. That's speeding, sure. Okay,
this became like a radio drama.
Yeah, there's the cops. After being pulled over, Emmanuel, who was wobbly and had watery and glassy eyes, he performed poorly on a series of field sobriety tests.
Just like improv comedy.
That's performing poorly, apparently. His blood alcohol content was measured at 0.218. 0.08 is the legal limit in Florida, which does make it more than 3 times the legal limit. When cops said that he would be arrested, Emmanuel then suddenly stood up and said, "Everything is all right."
Everything is all right.
Yes. Exactly like that.
Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Oh, come to me, O Israel.
That was beautiful.
A Christmas song.
Is that what he said?
I mean, that's what they sang to his name's Emmanuel, right?
Yeah.
Yes. After
that's what the cops said?
I don't know. It's what the churchgoers said.
Yeah.
The church is there?
The church is there.
Yeah.
The whole church is there.
The whole church.
The
whole congregation.
The congregation.
After Emmanuel admitted that he did consume multiple shots of whiskey prior to getting behind the wheel, He then stated, I'm a professional drinker. I know how to drink properly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy should have been on my dating show.
Oh, dating show.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
There you go. He could be your professional drinker.
But there's no picture.
Oh. Yeah. I don't have a picture. Yeah, there's no mugshot of him.
He's probably sexy.
The sexy ones they don't take pictures of.
Nope.
Damn it. Emmanuel was arrested on a misdemeanor DUI charge.
Missy misdemeanor.
Yeah. Okay, let's do... All right, how about a dumb story?
Are there smart stories?
No, but...
Okay.
But this
I was
is,
confused.
It's intellectual story.
Yeah, but this is in Arkansas. Nothing interesting happens in Arkansas,
Arkansas.
Apparently.
Arkansas.
A drunk man called 911 to claim that someone stole his cheeseburger.
It's about to get all stupid up in here.
Yes, how
Not
dare
the
you?
Cheeseburger.
Was it the Hamburglar?
This is just a marketing ploy by McDonald's.
Yeah. So, according to the police report, 30-year-old Keegan Byers told police that after a night out of drinking, he had purchased two cheeseburgers at a nearby gas station.
Ew.
Ooh, yeah, that's a...
Gas station cheeseburgers in the middle of the night?
I would not take a risk with gas station cheeseburgers. Mm. So, this was all in walking distance, so that's good. He didn't admit to a DUI or anything.
Okay.
So, he reportedly ate one of the burgers as he walked back to his motel room. And then he placed the other hamburger on the nightstand close to his bed at the Trout Motel.
Trout?
Trout, yeah.
That's, yeah.
We're in Arkansas here. This is...
I don't know if I would trust a motel named after fish.
Yeah, the Trout Motel. Byers said that when he woke up a couple hours later, the cheeseburger was gone.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Yes.
I mean, he obviously ate it, right? And he just doesn't remember?
Well, he claims it's gone missing, so that's when he called 911 to report that someone had stolen his precious cheeseburger.
Well, it is a crime.
Maybe it was the bed bugs.
Oh.
They took the whole burger?
There were so many bed bugs, they were able to devour the whole cheeseburger.
Or they all lifted it as like one unit and carried it away.
The cockroaches lifted it up and scurried away.
Yeah. This is actually a regular thing they do.
Still making your sound effects?
Try it.
This is something they regularly do every Saturday night. Just
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I like the fact that he put it on his nightstand. Like he was like, you know what? I'm gonna wake up in the middle of the night and just want a late night.
Maybe a ghost came in.
Maybe.
Ooh, now we're talking.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was a giraffe.
What? A giraffe?
I was giving her stuff to make sound effects for. Come on, Rich, keep up.
Is that the sound of a giraffe?
Yeah, but it's gross.
They chew with their tongues in circular motions.
I heard they make baaing sounds like sheep, like bleeding sounds.
Really?
Yeah. I've never heard one. Yeah.
Giraffes are my spirit animal.
I once saw a giraffe drink another giraffe's pee at the Philadelphia Zoo. People screamed. It was hilarious.
What do you mean? How did he? Did he get in there? Did
so
he like
the one giraffe?
Down?
The one giraffe spread its legs and was just gonna pee everywhere, and the other giraffe put its neck underneath and was like drinking, like you know how you like drink out of a water fountain, kind of. That's what this giraffe was doing, except in reverse.
Did you take a video?
That's a yes.
Just like that.
No.
Was everyone horrified?
Yes, people were screaming. It was hilarious.
Aww.
It was hilarious. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. But no, I didn't get a video because we didn't know that was about to happen.
Well, I guess they're not my spirit animal anymore. Or are they?
Oh.
Only my spirit animal because they drink each other's pee.
Maybe. That's a question you have to answer.
Right.
I'll think about it.
You'll think about it? Okay.
Is that listed on your dating profile? Punching, peeing?
What? Ew? What's the next story? Oh, wait, are we still in the middle of this one?
I'll just wrap this up.
You can wrap it up.
Police spoke to the motel's attendants, who noted that it was preposterous that someone would break into his room to steal his hamburger. Cops let Byers off with a warning to not use the 911 system for lost food, Breyers, though, still claims his room was broken into.
I mean, so. That is breaking and entry and theft, if that is the case.
I think it was the Hamburglar.
I think so.
He believes it. He believes somebody broke into his room and stole, out of everything to steal, stole his precious midnight snack hamburger.
I see three possible answers. One, cockroaches, or any type of vermin or rodent, mm-hmm. you know. Two, he ate in the middle of the night while he was drunk and didn't remember. Or mm-hmm. three, the Hamburglar.
Yeah, I'd say that was probably number one for me.
Yeah.
Two would be a ghost.
Okay.
And three would be, what's...
Alien abduction, because it's Arkansas.
No, I was thinking, like, what's the thing where you can transport one thing to another? Like in Willy Wonka?
Transport one thing to another?
Through, like, tubes.
Wonka Vader?
Series of tubes.
Oh,
the television thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, where the kid got shrunk down mm-hmm. into the TV.
Yeah. Tubes and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. That.
So that's, I think that was number three. Yeah. Yeah, it was one
just
of
came
the
out
three.
And went, whoop. Sure.
There you go. That's a good sound effect.
Yeah. 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 Do some.
Whoop. Whoop.
Yep. All right. And I got one more story.
Whoa.
And yeah, this one is also Florida as well.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy.
And, you know what, Nana? I'm glad you're on for this one.
Oh, oh God! So am I. Boners up.
Yep.
Boners up.
This is oddly becoming a recurring theme, and we need to investigate this.
Uh-oh.
A Florida woman was arrested on Saturday after she allegedly tossed a bucket of human waste
Why?
In the face of her landlord, according to cops. Yes, full blown. Again, we've had another story.
Was
it her own waste?
Yes.
Are you sure?
59-year-old Joanne Mercator was collared following a confrontation in the mobile home that she rents from the 65-year-old victim. Mercator was busted for battery on a person 65 or older, which is a felony in Florida. The victim told sheriff's deputies that she had arranged a meeting with Mercator to check on broken items within the residence. When the victim received no response to her knocking on the door, she opened the trailer door with the keys, and that's when she was met with a full bucket of human feces being thrown right in her face. Bam!
That's super alarming because... So, well, go ahead.
Here's
since you're new to this type of story.
Here's what I would like to try to imagine when it comes to a bucket of human feces being thrown in your face. Is it the kind of feces where it's like you had explosive diarrhea and it's just wet and sopping and everywhere? Or is it just like a couple of hard chunks that are just being like plopped on your face?
You have answers, Rich?
I might. I think this might answer your question.
Great.
When the deputy that first arrived on the scene encountered the landlord, she was completely in feces and she was dripping wet, according to the police report. Initially claiming that the victim had attacked her, Mercator admitted that she was the one that threw the bucket of feces on the landlord. Mercator claimed that it was an accident, and she instead was going to use a bucket of water, but got the two buckets confused.
No.
Yeah, okay. You grab your bucket of water and your bucket of feces.
No, you keep your shit bucket and your water bucket in different areas.
No, maybe.
No, time out. These stories hold a special place in my heart because the question that I always have is, why are you shitting and storing your poop in a bucket?
It might not be storing.
How big is the bucket? How many poops is it?
Maybe her toilet's broken.
I mean, that's a good point, but this type of story has happened numerous times.
It doesn't say in the police report that the toilet's broken.
What?
I think they would have had to have mentioned that.
No, but it could have been that her toilet's broken because if she was sopping wet, I mean, not everyone automatically has explosive, wet, sopping diarrhea. It could have been that she pooped in a bucket of water.
But
she got too confused.
But she says she has a bucket of water and a second. She explicitly says, I got the two buckets confused.
Yeah, there's a specific shit bucket.
Yeah.
And you know what I have to say? Have you ever seen the movie Signs?
What?
Are you going to answer my question?
I have, but.
Okay. You know how she leaves water around the house to stop the aliens?
Yeah.
That's why this lady has a bucket of water.
She's expecting signs?
to stop the aliens?
Yeah. Haven't you seen the movie Signs?
Yeah.
So I need to keep repeating myself?
No, but what does that have to do with the bucket of shit?
Maybe there's another alien life form.
Oh, and you need buckets of shit.
That's resistant to shit.
But also, I still stand by that her toilet's broken. Or she just doesn't want to pay her rent.
I think who
wants to pay their rent?
And her solution is save up shit and throw it on the landlord?
I mean, did it stop her from paying her rent for a short period? I'm sure.
But then she goes to jail, probably, or has to pay more.
Okay, in bail. What was the outcome?
Because
that's a major crime right there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because is it a felony?
It's a health thing.
It's a battery. So she got arrested for battery on a person 65 or older, which is a felony. So yeah, she's got a serious crime. The court affidavit does not reveal why Mercator had a bucket of feces ready to go.
That's the only important question.
That's really the only thing that matters.
I couldn't care less about the crime. I want to know more about the poop bucket.
I want to know about the time.
The body camera footage on the responding cop has him saying on the camera footage, quote, both of the people are covered in crap.
Both.
And there's poop everywhere.
Oh, my God.
She poured it on herself as well.
I guess she got some splashback.
Splashback.
No, you know what she probably did? Like, you know when you overthrow and it comes back around? Like...
Do you have experience poop bucketing?
No, but it's like you go to throw, but then there's so much momentum that it comes all the way back around.
And it's sort of, because if you imagine like the motion with a bucket.
Yes.
Yeah, there's like.
So she hit the neighbor, possibly the ceiling, and then it came
it
down.
It all came
on
crashing
her.
Down.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. How about this? How about don't throw buckets of poop at people?
How about don't shit in a bucket?
I like that one, too.
This is 2020.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't understand what the date has anything to do with
don't
it.
Poop well, you in said, a bucket.
It's saying we're well past poop plumbing. Bucket days. Yeah, we have plumbing.
Go to a gas station. Go to a
it
Wawa.
Guys, you don't know if she has a toilet.
To Nena's point, this is a trailer, so we don't know what's going on there.
It's a trailer? Of course she doesn't have a toilet.
Oh, come
on. Are you
on.
Saying every trailer people shit in buckets?
Mobile home.
I'm just saying maybe her toilet's broken.
It could
then
be.
Then go to a hotel or a gas station or something.
Or maybe. And then get a burger.
And get
then
a burger.
Leave it on your nightstand and the ghosts will steal it.
Right. Yeah. And then you won't have to shit.
That's why I was like, that's why it was diarrhea, because she had gas station burgers in the middle of the night.
Do you remember that song when you were younger and it's like diarrhea? Diarrhea. Yeah,
running down the hall. And you feel something fall. Diarrhea.
No.
Diarrhea.
Yeah. You never heard that song?
No.
Yeah. Oh, all the kids would sing it.
I don't know.
When you're climbing up a ladder
and you feel something splatter, diarrhea.
No, diarrhea. I don't remember that.
Oh my God.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
How
is
do there, you not?
I don't,
this
I never
like,
heard it.
This is,
no.
You, this is like every 5-year old you go through. You learn the song and you're like, hey, he's so fun. And
yeah.
Talking about poop.
No, I never
when
heard it.
When you're sliding into third and you feel a big turd, diarrhea.
Yeah.
Diarrhea.
There's
I wish
these.
People could see the faces you guys are making. You guys like really into it. You're like, yeah.
Yeah, because we grew up on this stuff.
No, I never heard it.
Ugh, you've had a really, really problematic
childhood. Do millennials
childhood.
Know about the diarrhea song?
He's not that much different of us.
I know, but like, I'm just saying, like, for like kids growing up, do they know?
No, no one knows the diarrhea song.
Oh my God, really?
I went to a very small grade school.
I need to ask.
So did I.
I'm going to have to.
Know.
And all we did was sing diarrhea.
I'm going to have to ask my nieces and nephews. Do you,
if they,
do you Rich, know the diarrhea song?
You're going to be a weird uncle.
Come over here. It's time for you to learn the diarrhea song.
Oh
come sit on Uncle's lap.
Sit on Uncle Rich's lap.
You have to learn the diarrhea song.
As he drinks his grown-up juice and sings the diarrhea song.
Come on. It's time for you to learn.
But his grown-up juice is prune juice. So he can develop his own diarrhea.
Yeah.
Diarrhea.
Yeah, that was a good song.
Oh, that's a great song. Yeah.
Is
There's
there
probably a few more we're missing.
Yeah.
Is there an audio of this? I don't...
You just had the audio.
I don't... Oh, yeah, no. we just sang it for you.
No, I meant like a professionally orchestrated
version.
You
should probably
version.
Look it up afterwards.
Maybe someone did.
I'll look it up afterwards.
Yeah.
This is very alarming eye-opening. And eye-opening news, yes.
Oh, yeah. What would you do without us?
The diarrhea song. Come on.
I wouldn't know the diarrhea song.
Oh, die of ignorance.
Well, anyway, Mercator was booked into the county jail on Saturday evening, and she's been ordered to have no contact with the victim. So, yeah, she's got a serious charge. It's a felony. She got a battery charge coming her way.
Interesting.
Just, I don't know. There's better options than pooping in a bucket.
Yeah.
But what if that's the only option you have? Where else would you poop?
Go to a motel or
what alarms
something.
Me the most, though, is that there was enough poop in there.
Go to a McDonald's. McDonald's will let you poop.
There was enough poop in there to completely cover two people.
Yes.
There's a big bucket with a lot of poop, which means it's probably multiple poopings.
Yes, multiple trips.
Okay.
What?
I'm okay with it.
You're okay pooping with in a bucket? What part of it?
I don't know, but I
would
feel
you poop
like
in a bucket?
If I had to, if that was, that was all I had.
That was a very, like, at peace tone you had. You're like, you've made peace with this concept that people poop in buckets and throw it on people.
You know what? I'm just really happy that I'm here.
Aww, that was so sweet.
And it was the last story, so there you go. It's a nice content feeling to
yeah,
end.
Yeah, it was a content feeling to just have a great story to wrap up the nice fact that I crashed the hell out of this podcast. And you guys let me in with open arms.
And no poop buckets.
And no poop buckets.
No poop buckets.
Yeah, because Mike has a working toilet.
But you might want to check your bathroom.
Uh-oh.
When you're running down the hall and you
feel
something
fall,
diarrhea.
Uh-oh.
There you go.
Okay.
Well, I think that's an appropriate transition because I know one thing that Mike has learned on this episode. So let's go completely over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn
because knowledge is power.
All right. So, Mike, you've learned now the diarrhea song.
Yes, I learned there's a diarrhea song. I had no idea. It's amazing.
That's
it's brilliant.
Wake up.
Yeah. It's like every five-year-old, you go through the diarrhea song.
I don't know. Nobody in my class has ever sang the diarrhea song.
Yeah, you missed out.
I don't know, yeah. I also learned that speaking of nasty sounds, Nena's going to make sound effects for us.
I can't wait. Yay.
And they're going to be super weird. And Rich seems kind of hesitant to give up his soundboard duties.
Yes.
He loves his little soundboard.
Don't
soundboard.
Touch that thing, because guess what? I'm the new soundboard.
That was actually like your face like just went into space. It was great.
Exactly.
Wow. See, amazing. We have our own Foley artist here.
Yeah. There you go.
And finally, I learned people really like shitting in buckets and throwing it at people.
We've had multiple stories.
Multiple stories. It's quite alarming.
This is a thing.
But not for Nena.
I think that they're Amish and they're just out of electricity.
What does electricity have to do with toilets? Well, the lights are out. I got to shit in the bucket now.
Yeah. Yes.
There you go.
Don't be rude.
That's it. You got to shit in the bucket.
Yeah.
I'm Mr. Bucket, putting shit in my mouth.
I don't know what's going on over there. I can't help
I have
you.
No idea what's happening.
It's Mr. Bucket.
Are you trying to do space balls?
No.
What is happening?
Right, maybe he's drunk.
Never mind. That went over. Listen.
And that's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
But you know what? All good things. I don't know what that was, but...
Did you finish?
Yeah, you good over there?
That was just the sigh. It's time to end.
Yeah.
Sigh.
The sigh that signals we got to end the podcast.
The contented sigh.
Yep. Nena, thank you for crashing the podcast. This was fun.
I'm so excited to be here.
This was definitely unplanned, unscripted, off the rails. This was great.
Censored, copious, lewd. All of the crap that you're going to put.
Copious cursing, sexual.
Keep everyone away from me.
Aww.
No. Just make sure you write your own disclaimer. I'll put it all as the disclaimer.
I will. I'm going to.
All right, good. All of this wonderful stuff that you heard us talk about with the disclaimers and everything like that, you can find that on our website, thecrispynoodle.com. If you want to follow our updates, make sure you follow us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle, and on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, the best bits of the show, shrunk down into a quick 2-minute promo clip. that you can easily share with friends and family the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. So many ways to get in touch and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually to share your sports, entertainment, or odd news stories, hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening. If you have any odd news stories that you want us to talk about, send them my way, and we'll take all submissions under consideration, and we'll give you a shout out if it's something that you know, we talk about on the air.
As long as it's not about toes.
I don't know. I think you're putting
a callback to last episode. That was awesome.
I think you might want to watch out. People are going to send you foot stories now.
Oh yeah.
But for right now, this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
I'm Robert Waters, and this has been the Crispy Noodle 2020.